Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Alampi is here. Jim is the founder of Alampi & Associates. He's an executive leadership and corporate management expert. He's the author of Great to Excellent, It's the Execution, and he's here to talk to us about something very important. Jim Alampi, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So, I believe what you said in a recent article about saying no. It took when I started my business back in 89 when I was downsized for the second time by corporate America. I started my own business. I started a consulting company. And I would do anything, right? I needed the business. I would do anything. And after a while, when our business got to going a little bit better, I had to learn how to say, okay, I can't do that because that doesn't fit my profile. That's not effective for me. That's not efficient for me. I can't give you the best result if I do that. I had to learn how to do that. It was hard.
Anybody can say yes. It takes a pretty astute business guy to know when to say no.
So startups really have this problem, don't they?
They do, and I think the first problem is that too many of them somehow came to believe that the right measure of success is the revenue line. Well, I don't know about you, but I've never put revenue in my checking account. So,
right, that's,
you know,
right.
Just looking at pure size of company is the wrong metric.
Well, and I've always said, too, Jim, that growth for its own sake is a fool's errand.
Totally agree. And too many entrepreneurs, you know, especially when I talk to groups, 80 CEO groups a year around the world, and the common theme through all those is, you know, when do you ever say no? And most of them look at me like, we're entrepreneurs. We're not supposed to say no. We're supposed to chase those opportunities wherever they are. And I guess you can do that, but boy, it sure has gotten a lot of companies into trouble.
Well, the main thing is, never mind whether you got enough money or not. You may have more money than I, Jim, but you don't have more time than I have.
Time, resources, technology,
energy,
a leadership team that knows how to run a larger business. It really is tough. And when I talk to the key executives of those CEOs and ask them, you know, when does the boss ever say no? They kind of roll their eyes like, he never says no. He just keeps throwing one new opportunity after another at us. And that puts a lot of stress on a startup organization.
The opposite of yes is focus, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So how do we do that? How do we learn how to say no in a way? You know, we have to, because we're entrepreneurs, because we're out here, and because we're hoping that one day we'll hit on that one thing that will, you know, that will launch us into orbit. There's nothing wrong with considering a lot of things. It's the saying yes or no. It's the big deal, isn't it?
There ought to be a process to making that decision. It shouldn't be willy nilly or just a pure emotional decision. There ought to be a way to approach it in a logical fashion to weigh all of the opportunities and make the right decision on the right opportunities.
I agree with that. So what would that process be? What would yours look like?
You know, the best one I've ever found, and we teach all of our clients, is something Jim Collins talked about in Good to Great, something he calls his hedgehog concept. And it basically just has people ask the question, you know, what are we really passionate about? What kind of work or customers or products are we passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what can we be best in our world at? And the world here doesn't mean the globe. It means that your sandbox as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But in that space, what can we truly be best at? And three, what drives our economic engine? So from a profit per something, what is it? What kind of work is it that drives our economic engine? And if you can answer yes to all three of those, boy, I'd chase that opportunity the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But But if you can't say yes to all of them, you know, you really need to think long and hard about what it's going to do to your company to try to tackle something where you're not passionate about it or you don't think you could ever be best in the world. So I think it's a great filtering system to try to put a process in place to evaluate those new opportunities.
It's been interesting to me over the years, Jim, to see how people have made those decisions, how one person would choose something that they were more passionate about, that they loved, even though it was going to put fewer rocks in their box, and how another person chose the more lucrative direction, even though it didn't necessarily make them all that happy. And you know, it's what they say, horses for courses. I like strawberry, you like vanilla. Neither one of those folks were wrong. It was just that they were different.
Absolutely, and that's the absence of a process so that everybody's using the same criteria and coming to a common goal.
But the thing is, both of them focused on something. They didn't. They both of them had that one thing in common. One of them focused on the thing that made him happier, but maybe not as much money. The other one focused on the thing that made him or her more money, but maybe not as happy.
And that would tell me that there's a lack of alignment in terms of what the critical metrics are that business is going to measure itself by. I mean, everybody needs to be on the same page in terms of understanding, you know, it's not just pure revenue for growth's sake, and it isn't just pure profit, and it isn't just risk. We've got to take into account all of those different elements and make the right decision so that we don't tax and overstress the company. Mm-hmm. You know, even really fast growth entrepreneurs, you know, 30-40% a year, year after year, at some point, you know, the work is going to start to outgrow the leadership skills, the technology systems, the business processes. So even great companies that are really fast growth usually take a pause about every couple of years and let that foundation.
If you don't pause, the world will pause you.
Absolutely.
Right? But
of course, not very well.
The two things you got to focus on, I think, to decide if it's the right thing, to go, if it's go or no-go, obviously, first, you have to capitalize that growth. That's one of the mistakes people make, is they don't realize that they have to capitalize growth. Growth is not self-funding immediately, and number one. Number two, are you going to create a casualty list among your people?
Absolutely.
Yeah, aren't those the two big considerations?
And you know, you and I know that oftentimes the people who got me here can't get me there.
Let's talk about that after the break. I want to talk about those two things, capitalizing your growth and the casualty list that you've heard me talk about so much. With Jim Alampi. Jim, I need your website, please.
www.alampi.com.
Alampi.com. Check it out. Quick break right back after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Chicago to take us out. Brand new members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Feeling like
I ought to sleep. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.